came.
Fishing Radio. It's 8 o'clock here in Atlanta, and you could be listening to a podcast, and it'd be some other time, maybe down the road. We've been having some pretty good turnouts for that, so thank you guys for listening. Up to the folks in the chat room. I see Pop in there, and Haywood's already made it in there. Haywood's on the phone, and so is Rob. Hello, Bill. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. It's kind of lonely in the chat room. There's nobody there.
I know, man. I've been getting great downloads after the show, but nobody seems to be showing up on live. And Rob's in there with us, too. Hey, Rob, how are you this evening?
Yes, sir. I'm good. Good, man.
All right. So, like I said in the kickoff there, I've been in Chicago for the past week and with work, and good to be back home. It was rough coming in here this evening, man. The weather and the southeast is just getting all churned up. We got hurricanes. It doesn't look like it's going to give you guys too much of a run for your money, though. But
not yet.
Got a bunch of waves coming off the Horn of Africa, though, from what I see. So,
well, there is a little disturbance just down to the southeast that they said was going to come up possibly up through this weekend and kind of screw it up this weekend. So,
right.
I don't know. I have to keep an eye on that.
Just,
it needs to, because it's too damn hot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm about an inch low in the swimming pool out back, and I don't want to throw the hose in it, so we need some rain to fill it back up. So, we lost a friend this week, a fisherman that had a kyak fisherman and fisherman that has been on the show before. Folks have seen him in the chat room. Is cooking fish. And Bill, why don't you give us a rundown on Mark?
Yeah, his name was Mark Bellot, B-E-L-L-O-T-E. You probably saw him in the chat room. I saw him in the chat room the last time I was on the show. It was probably been several weeks ago. And, yeah, I noticed that he was there just kind of hanging out. A longtime angler here in the Tampa Bay area, an avid writer. He was an editor for the Saltwater, Saltwater Angler here in the Tampa. I believe that's just a local regional magazine. He did some writing for DOA. He was real big with DOA. He was a part of the Addictive Fishing crew and hung out with those guys at their Mogan Manias and covered that. Just a real, real nice guy. I fished with him many, many times. I fished against him many, many times in tournaments here in the Bay Area. I just spoke to him at ICAST last month, and we talked, after ICAST. In fact, I just talked to him last week, and then, I go to work, and I think it was Tuesday, and I find out that he's, or Wednesday, I think it was yesterday, and I find out that he's gone, he's left us. And it's pretty sad.
Yeah. Yep. We lose folks, and it's sad. But know that he's got great conditions to fish now, and hopefully that he doesn't. There was no pain in passing, and we wish him tight lines.
I'm going to try to get, if I can, I'm going to try to get one of his flies that he was tying. He was tying these little topwater gurglers.
Yeah.
And they were like orange foam, and then he was drawing these little, not a happy face on them, but he was drawing like a mean, angry face, you know.
Oh, yeah?
And it was real funny looking, and I just had to think about that. I'll try to get one of those and maybe post a picture of it because it was kind of funny. But he had his little, you know, he was talking with his friend Jeff about he's got a little sunset snook spot that he fishes on the low tides that we get here, you know, the negative low tides in the afternoon. And we talked about that today, you know. I think where our few of us are going to go over there and one afternoon, maybe next week, and hit that spot up and just, you know, think about Mark.
Well, that would be a great tribute. And, again, we hate to lose folks. But hopefully they go on to better fishing grounds than we've got to deal with here. So thanks for letting us know about him, man. And we'll all remember. We'll try to remember him. We'll remember him in our chat rooms. Nobody's ever really gone, you know. We keep on thinking. I remember so many folks from times that I've had, and you know, folks that have passed and all. And you just carry them with you in your tackle box, you know, just like that. Something brings it up to you, and they just live on. So it's a good time. So I'm back in town. We've got the boondoggle is creeping up on us. And this boondoggle we've had a long stretch, you know, between boondoggles. We had the President's Day boondoggle, and we were down in Chukalovsky, and that was great. We had a lot of folks turn out down there, and now we're headed up to Virginia Beach, and
boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And there it is. You can go to yakangler.com/boondoggle and find out some information, or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. See some pictures from our past ones and all. And also, we're starting to think about, well, you know, because the next one kind of sneaks up on us pretty quick. We go from October to President's Day, which, let's see, it's going to be February 15th through the 18th, I think, coming up next year. So that one's kind of a short prep period and stuff. Yep, 15th through the 18th of February. And we're looking for ideas on where we should have our next boondoggle. So we send them in, post them up on yakangler.com in the forum there, or you can send us emails here at kayakfishingradio@gmail.com. And let's see. Yeah, we need everybody to sign up. We're going to get a sign up going on yakangler.com. At least there should be one in there. If you're going to come to the boondoggle in Virginia Beach, please give us your head count. We've got a great deal for food. It's not quite like we had the capability there in Little Talbot Island or down Chukalovsky. The facilities are at a state park. It's not a private campground like we have been at, or at a KOA. So we found a couple of folks that have offered to host the dinner for us. We haven't nailed down a price yet, but we're saying somewhere in the $15 to $20, and good spread of food and place to ourselves for a few hours, and then they open up the whole place to us. There'll be a live band later that evening and stuff, and we can hang out and have a great time and just have a great fellowship with all of our friends and new friends that we meet at the boondoggle. So we're going to need to get that. The place is called Salty Seas. It's just a stone's throw from what I understand from the campsites there. And Loziers were talking about it and ate there last night, from what Mark's saying in the chat room right now. Let me pick up the phone here. And is that you, Chuck?
Hello.
Hello. So Chuck, we're starting to round folks up. We need a good head count for folks coming up to the boondoggle, and I'm hoping everybody's is cool with the idea of having a catered dinner, and instead of having a, we can fish all day Saturday and then come back in, you know, grab a shower and then show up and eat. How's that sound to you?
That sounds a lot better than me trying to wave over the hot stove up.
I know, right? The one in Chokoloski, that one there got to be almost work. We had a little over 50 folks show up on Saturday night, and we had a deal on Sunday too. So I think we're gonna go ahead and go with the catered meal. And that sound good to you, Rob?
Yeah, man, sounds fine to me.
Okay, so we'll get some of the local flavor there, and I don't know what the mainline band is that's going to be out on the deck for that evening, but get to meet kind of like the seaweed restaurant.
Yeah, it'll be okay. I'll figure something out.
Yeah, I think so, man. So, yeah. So those are just there. YakAngler.com. You go to Yak Social, go to events, and then go to the second annual Columbus Boondoggle, and make sure you sign up there if you're going, so that we can get a good head count for the meals coming. We've got a, looks like a Virginia Carolina style barbecue for the evening, and that sounds pretty cool. I'm always into barbecue meat, so we get folks to sign up, we get a good head count, get a better deal there for some off. So the some of the things we're going to be doing at be fishing, and part of the fishing, we're going to have a bit of a good time. We like to kind of share the wealth with folks, do like a little 50-50 there with a team pod tournament, and bring out your mini rod, your pocket fisherman, your ice fishing rod, your Barbie pole, your Spidey or your Batman or whatever, and we'll put up Andy up into the pot and go 50-50 on that. Big fish wins half the pot. The other half we're going to donate through Heroes on the Water to the local unit there. Big question in the chat room from Scoop Dan. Go ahead. You could call in 714-816-4727 and ask your question. So... what else we got coming up? Okay, we got coming up. It is now that time of year. We did it last year for the first annual. Now it's the second annual coming up. We're getting ready to open up the polls for the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. We did it last year. 2011 was our inaugural year. We're going to go ahead 2012 now. We're going to open up the polls, I believe, next week. We want the nominees to stay open for a couple. We'll close the polls. We've got some categories. We want you to, mainly, you know, the best category or whatever. Hopefully, we'll get the word out to all the clubs. There's a great out there across the land.
Are we losing
me again? It's like when we talk for a period of time, I start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Again.
Bob, he's still there.
Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, good.
I just lost them. Alright, so count.
Yeah, Chip, you're still fading in and out.
Am I really? Alright, hang on. Alright, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Bill.
Yeah, you're still fading.
Alright. Let me try to get another.
Who else is on the line right now?
I don't know.
I'm still here.
Can anybody else hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Bill.
Am I fading in and out?
No, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. It's Chip.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Chip, your phone's tired from being in Chicago.
I think so. I think it's tired. And I'm going to try to... hold on, let me get my Skypes.
You need to boost your game.
Hold on.
Boost your HF game.
How about now? Does that help?
That helped.
A lot better.
A lot better. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just took the automatic microphone settings off. Is it fading?
Nope.
Doesn't appear to be.
All right. So I think maybe... the Apple computer decided it knew better than I did. All right. So anyway, Stan had asked, how long do you, when you're flounder fishing, well, fishing for flounder with artificials, do you wait to set the hook? Lozier said count to five, then part his eyes. Lozier said, again, that he says five because it always works out. Fishermen can't wait that long. And you still wait to set the hook when using a shad tail. I know I always can't wait to even get the daggum bait down to the flounder. I'm usually just ripping the baits too fast. I'm not patient enough to get them down into the strike zone. That seems to be my problem with flounder. What's your game plan for flounder there, Chuck, up in Virginia?
You can destroy and kill as many of them as legally possible. And by that I mean, for artificials, I'm kind of with Lozier, depending upon the bait and the size of the artificial. 5 seconds is a pretty good general rule of thumb for that. A trick that my grandpa taught me that I still use today is when I feel that thump, I'll lift that rod tip real slow, super slow. And you watch the rod tip kind of want to bounce, almost like dance a little bit.
Right.
And if it starts to kind of bounce like that, that's the fish trying to pull his head back down to the sand. You kind of lift his head up, he's trying to pull his head back down in the sand. If he does that, 9 times out of 10, he's got the bait deep and he's not ready to let it go. So we rip the space off then. But if I'm fishing bait, that's always my biggest thing down here. And probably one of the most common mistakes made by people fishing bait for flounder, especially big mullet or pogies or dreadfins or what have you, bunker as they call it up there, is getting too anxious. When I was a kid, my grandpa always told me just to say my ABCs. And at the end of my ABCs, then you can rip the space off. Because sometimes it takes... You know, down here, we're fortunate where sometimes you can see those fish. laying on the bottom. And I've actually had them when I was wading, so I'm all the way up to my feet, and there's a pig right at my feet. And it's pretty interesting if you've ever seen a flounder take a bait. They just kind of suck it in like a grouper, but a lot of times they'll spit it back out again and swim around it and position themselves in such a way where they can grab it again and then get it down their gullet. So, you know, that's why sometimes you'll feel that tap, tap, and then a few more tap, 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 taps, and then it's solid. It's him trying to position it around, spinning it around. They tend to dog bone a lot, but the artificials, it's minimum 5 seconds and ripping that off.
Okay. Like I said, my thing is I'm usually just not – I'm not. I either don't have enough weight for the conditions to get the bait down into the strike zone, and or I'm moving the bait too fast. You got to really let it bounce along the bottom. Lozier says they spit it to scale it. Okay. I guess I've not heard that, but I'll buy that. So,
It's just, I talked to Lozier via chat probably for about 45 minutes, and I appreciate his patience with me, but I think I've got everything I could ever know about Virginia's beach flounder covered, so I'm hoping they show up and we'll be on them.
Yeah. I'm hoping they do. I'd like to get in on a flounder bite. We're also going to have the opportunity to possibly to fish a little bit further out with Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi. But if you're planning on going and fishing with those guys, then I'd ask you to get in touch with them and talk to them about where they're going to fish and the conditions that they fish in out there, and make sure that your abilities match up with the conditions. We don't want to ever see anyone get hurt, definitely not on our watch, but we want to make sure that your abilities. I know that we have a lot of folks show up to some of our boondoggles that are just interested in finding out more about kayak fishing. And those are the fishing the Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi scene out there with those big giant bull reds and big stripers is not for a beginner. So, not that you wouldn't work your way up to it pretty quick, but we don't want to get anybody hurt. So we're going to let those two make the decision on whether or not you can get out there with them or not. So you going to try to get out there with them, Chuck?
I don't know. I'd like
know.
To, but I got
if the flounder are tearing it up, we're going to be in the beach too busy, right?
Oh, listen, if the flounder bite is epic, I'm not going anywhere. That's honest to God, it's all I care about catching up there right now is I've got this weird obsession with Virginia Beach flounder because I always see the videos and pictures that those guys put up. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I'd like to go out there just to say that I did it and experience that style of fishing. But with Jeff being there with me, I don't think I'm going to try and leave her behind or try and get her to go with me out there. I just know that it's not probably a good recipe for anything that'll be fun at the boondoggle for me.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing, you know, and that's really what the boondoggles are all about, is that we get together to have fun with folks and fish, and we don't want the conditions to be too difficult for people. We don't want anybody to get out there and, you know, be paddling into, you know, a 5 or 6 knot current the whole way out, and then, you know, have to turn around and slog back through the mud unless you're Rob. But yeah, we want to have a good time. We don't want things to be too difficult for folks. So we try to find, you know, kind of the middle of the road, you know, what the average kayak fisherman can do, and just have a good time with it. Hopefully catch some fish and tell some fish stories. So, Bill, what have you been up to, man? I know your health is not the best here lately, but have you got out to take any pictures? Have you seen the water?
Last time I was out was our Heroes on the Water event last month.
Yeah, how did that go,
man? Oh, it was hot.
Yeah.
The wind wasn't blowing for once, but it was hot. And but it was good. We had a good, we had a pretty good turnout, and guys enjoyed themselves. We're just trying to figure out when our next one's going to be. This whether we're going to do one in August or wait and do one in September. But other than that, I've been moving. We moved to a new house, and it's been a mess. I can't even get my kayaks back in the garage because the garage is full of boxes, and it's just it's pitiful.
Well, if I was closer, dude, I would be more than willing to come over there and help you out, man. Just load some stuff up for you and help you out.
It's too late now. I already moved.
Oh,
the
darn.
Part was already done. I just
darn,
had to clean the garage
out. Darn. Now we got to clean the garage. Okay.
I couldn't go fishing right now if I wanted to. All my stuff is buried. I can't get to it. I need to because I got a pile of crap from my cast that I need to review. And, I don't know when I'm going to get to it right now.
Right. That's right. You guys got a lot of products and stuff that you saw there at ICAST, and you're looking forward to seeing some of the reviews. And speaking of, now, Bill, you're usually the photographer that we talk about and taking pictures and making everybody look good. But I guess Chuck here, congrats to him. He's got a picture there that he took, and it's going to be on the cover of Kayak Angler magazine, right, Chuck? Congrats.
Thanks, man. I think it's just the cover of their Facebook page. I don't know that it's going to be on the cover of the magazine itself, but that's a shot I took a while ago. And actually, that shot's been paying off, man. I won a Green Fish CPR mount with that picture, and this is the second thing I've entered it into and the second thing I've won. And at that day, I was actually fishing with Mr. Hammerhead, so that was awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah, and it's a good picture, and look, even on the Facebook page, man, got the little Redfish Chuck logo, and Chuck sent me a thing too. I'm hoping that you get your tailgate done there in time for the boondoggle.
Oh, it'll be done. It was supposed to be done last weekend, and I found a bit of rust on the bottom edge of my tailgate, and When I went to sand it down a little bit to kind of clean it up, my finger went through the tailgate into a hole that was created by the rust. So,
gotta get the cancer out now.
yeah, I gotta patch that thing up real quick and get it into my buddies over there at A1A Sineways, and they're gonna hook it up. But yeah, I should have that hopefully middle of next week. It should be done.
That'll be cool.
Can I say something, Chuck?
Yeah, go ahead.
Chip. That photo for his tailgate, that's an outstanding picture.
Dang, you're right. Listen, I got a hold of Bill, and I was like, Bill, that picture you took of me, when I was bundled up like it was 30 degrees outside, I said, it's probably one of the best pictures that I have of me.
It was so cold that day.
I know, right?
It was. It was freezing. And so I told him, I asked Bill, I said, hey, would you mind if I were to have this put on or use the photo in the wrap? And, of course, he didn't mind at all, and I appreciate that, Bill. You're awesome. But,
you look like Lewis and Clark in that photo, like you're exploring the unknown territory or something.
That's what made it, but you know what, man, I've showed that picture to a bunch of people, and everyone who's seen it has all said the same thing. They're like, you never would have known in a million years you're fishing in Florida because you're bundled up with a ski hat and a baseball cap and a waders and a sweatshirt and a shirt. But then again, you don't really know where you are. So because of the bomb, so it's pretty kind of a cool shot. No, I appreciate that. And then the other half of the wrap is that tail from that picture that I won with. So those guys, man, they've really taken really good care of me. And I think that we're going to get a bunch of stickers done, too, to bring up with us for the boondoggle as well from them. They've been huge, huge help to me and sponsor. I guess I'll call it kind of sponsor-ish. So good people. A1A Sineways down here in Cocoa Beach.
Oh, that's cool, man. and look forward to seeing it. I saw the kind of the mashup, the Photoshop of the tailgate, and I think that's going to be just right on, man. So we're lucky to have the guys. You know, you guys take some great pictures and stuff. It looks great. Get that fish porn out there. Bill, you're always doing some good work. I took one picture one time, too, I think.
You
it was
did.
Pretty good.
Yes, you did.
But, all right, so I wasn't going to go real long tonight because I'm about beat from flying back from Chicago today, but and all the bag dragging that we had to do across the city and into the airport. But, so... If you had your druthers, right, you could pick a place for a boondoggle. And, I mean, now this is a boondoggle that you're going to drive to and stuff. I know that, you know, I think Bill and I both have one on our bucket list to go out and fish with Dave and the boys out there in Christmas Island and stuff like that. Now, that would
yeah.
be all. But,
yeah, I need to rob a bank for that one.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have to – if I win the Powerball this weekend, man, it's up to like $235 million, man. We're all going to Christmas Island, so
– You heard it. You heard it there. I have witnesses.
That's right, man.
The audio proof, it'll be on iTunes.
It'll be on the podcast here in about 15 minutes, so
– Whoops, we lost that episode. No, we had a fire. I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah, that's right. So this is something you got to be able to drive to and stuff, you know, kind of the region and all. Where would you go for a boondoggle, Bill? We're talking February, early Louisiana, huh? Just rolls right out of your mouth, huh?
Delacroix or whatever. I want some of those big, stupid, fat redfish they got up there.
I've heard that from several people now, talking about how stupid the redfish are over there in Louisiana.
Well, if you ever watch any of the videos, the guys are catching them in boats right next to the boat. They get practically on top of them.
Yeah.
Either fly fishing or spinning. They just don't see any pressure.
Okay.
So I vote for that.
You vote for Louisiana, huh? How about you, Chuck? What would your choice be?
Yeah, I want to go to Louisiana. Louisiana, there's a couple of places here in Florida, but number one shot would probably be Louisiana. And to vouch for what Bill said about stupid redfish, I've got a buddy of mine who lives here in Central Florida, lives here in the wintertime to guide down there with his boat because the fishing is just so ridiculous down there. He says his average day, get this now, his average day of fishing is 20 to 40 redfish on fly.
20 to 40 on the fly.
On a fly. He says if the clients have the spinning rod in their hands, I almost have to stop them because it's just absurd.
So it's kind of like our boondoggle day there at the lagoon, huh?
Yeah, minus the fact that they're not rats. Every fish is a slot fish or a pig. And the big fish down there, as Bill was saying, the big, fat, goofy, dumb redfish down there, like the 35, 40 inches will eat flies and plugs and plastic just as easily as a short one will.
All right. Well, I'm not saying no to it. That's certainly, we're hearing a lot of folks saying they'd like to see Louisiana for a boondoggle. So we need to start scouting out some spots. Maybe some folks that are listening to the show, listen to the podcast here. Some of our friends, if you're listening Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, you know, send us your ideas. Where would we stay? How could we get some folks in? Now, I tell you though, if you didn't get a chance to listen to two Tuesdays ago, the podcast or the show from the Loziers, with their friend coming in talking about, I think it was Calaveras Lake, Texas. Did you hear that show, Bill?
Yeah.
Chuck? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so this Calaveras Lake, there's also another lake that's very close by, but it's in Texas. It's like the southeast side of San Antonio, I believe. And there's a power plant there, so they've got this retention pond basically for cooling water for the power plant. And they have stocked it. It's a freshwater pond lake, and they've stocked it full of reds. And the reds eat the tilapia that they also stock there as food for the reds and stuff. But evidently, if you just Google up Calaveras Lake and near San Antonio, Texas, holy cow, Ty Sutherland from 30 miles out was their guest that night. And, I mean, that is just crazy. Now, Texas is a pretty good haul, but that might be a long drive. But I might be willing to do that with a few folks to give that a try. Freshwater redfish, I guess they use tilapia or big old giant bait. Yeah, 3 hours from the saltwater is what Lozier was saying. 3 hours from the saltwater, these big reds in this freshwater lake. You ever heard of that? I mean, that's crazy. I knew reds. You know, they're up in the brackish and stuff. They can tolerate.
Well, they farm them in Texas, so.
Yeah, there you go. So
they raise them like catfish.
Yep. And holy cow, that would be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, I think I'm getting a lot of word from folks and emails and stuff that people are saying that we need to do a boondoggle in Louisiana. So I'm going to try to, as we kick off our Kayak Angler's Choice Award here in the next week, we want to get with some of the locals there, some of the kayak fishing groups there in Louisiana, and get some ideas and see. I think February would be perfectly doable in that neck of the woods in February. We'll be out of hurricane season. They're calling for a pretty tough one this year. But certainly, I'm, you know, here recently, it just hadn't been fun to be out in a boat with 100-degree weather, so. But we'll look at it, and we'll see where it goes, and we'll be announcing that new for the President's Day Boondoggle 2013, the location, and hopefully we'll see some folks there. All right, well, I've about had it for the evening. I'm about to fall asleep here, so I appreciate you showing up. Bill, man, you take care, and again, we think in our memory of Mark there cooking fish, so thanks for...
Thank you.
Helping us, you know, get through that tonight. And you take care of yourself, man. We want to see you back out on the water pretty soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, man. Get the garage cleaned out. Chuck, man, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, no problem. If I could do one thing real quick, Chip.
All right, go ahead, man.
We've got, guys, we've only got a couple more days left. If you want to sign up a team to fish for recycledfish.com 24-hour fishathon. It's a 24-hour event where you sign up a team, you go out, you fish for 24 hours straight, and the team with the most points at the end of the 24-hour period wins prizes and whatnot. But it's all to raise money for the recycled fish folks and also your local area. So if you're interested in trying to do something for your local area, wondering how in the world can I do, you know, how can I, you know, do my part in maybe protecting our resources. Look at recycledfish.com. You'll see all the information there. I just signed up a team down here, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, and we are the first mega team, as they call it, to be signed up in their event ever since the beginning. I think 4 years ago, we're the first team with as many people as we got fishing it. So it should be fun.
All right, man. We'll hear more about that on Monday, right?
Yeah, man.
All right, Chuck. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you next week. Monday night, that's Chuck, Redfish Chuck, his show, 8 o'clock, right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. He kicks off the week for us. Y'all make sure you tune in Tuesday night at Lozier's, the Double L crew. They're up there in Virginia, not West Virginia. I know I keep saying West Virginia, but my wife was there last week, so it's on my brain. But First Landing State Park, Virginia Beach, Virginia. We'll be there October 5 through 8. We'll see you next time. This is Kayak Fishing Radio. Tight lines, take a kid fishing.